WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome back into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. No AJ Myers this week. We got a special episode for you guys. We're recording this one right after Syracuse's narrow loss to Clemson. Grim Bloomstein, Josh Rothert here. Break it all down. Talk bigger picture. Hoops. Donnie Freeman back on the court for the first time in over a month. Slow start, but picked it up at the end. Josh, how we feeling? You know, Syracuse got 2 feet of snow. One of their snowiest days in decades. How we feeling? How's the weather been treating you? How the holidays?
We're not even there to see it, Griffin. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying.
Podcast was talking about it. Like, it's insane. The snow plows aren't plowing the roads, and it's, you know, feet of snow. And yeah, I mean, here it's been not too bad. There was a bomb cyclone actually in Detroit, which is where I reside nearby. So we had 65 mile an hour winds on Monday. It was a fun drive to work. But yeah, you know, the weather's not been too bad. Syracuse basketball, can't really say quite the same there. Really tough loss today. We'll get into that more later, Griffin. But how's your break back?
Break's been good, you know, solid. Hasn't been too much snow out in the Boston area, which I can be thankful for. I wish I could be thankful for this Syracuse basketball team giving us a ACC opener win, but that's not what happened. Syracuse falls 64-61. Close game. First half was close. Second half was close. It was a very, like, weird game watching it. Like, the first half took a while. The game overall just kind of took a long time. There was a couple reviews that took some time. Fouls were a little interesting on both sides. But obviously the big story, Donnie Freeman coming back. And, oh boy, did I think Donnie at first, in that first half, was set back from his nine games that he missed. 0 points, 0 for 5 from the field, five rebounds, which is fine, in 13 minutes. Coming off the bench, and then he took off in the second half, and that's the story. 18 points, had a couple of clutch threes down the stretch, obviously missed the three-pointer with like 5-10 seconds left. That could have sealed the deal for the Orange and forced OT potentially. But yeah, how did you think his play went today?
Yeah, I thought I was actually impressed. I thought it was going to take some time to get the rust off. I mean, 9 games out. Obviously no sweat there. I don't know. What did you think about him coming off the bench? I mean, he's still the best player on the team. I don't really think there's much value in him missing the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I think the big thing for me is just like, all right, you can start guys, you can close guys. It's not really about that. I think it's about who finishes the game.
Yeah, I like it when you say it like that. It makes it seem like.
And I
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think it's just about like you want to ease him in. To it. Like, that's fine. Sadiq White has been playing well the past couple of games, and just let Donnie come off the bench, make it a little easier him to get back up to speed.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's like, the 5 minutes at the start of the game he's missing, he's making up for it by playing the last 5 minutes of the game. So would you rather have him in 5 minutes at the start where it's, you know, 8-6, or would you rather have it him in at the end of the game when you need buckets? And obviously, I think head coach Autry made the right decision here. You want him on the court at the end of the game because Griffin, it seems like every player not named Donnie Freeman at the end of the game forgot how to make a basket. I mean, Freeman, 18 of those points in the second half, 18 of the 33. So he was more than half of the scoring for the Orange in the second half. And J.J. Starling looked like he finally started to figure it out offensively. And he comes back today and he puts in a dud performance, does nothing to be the secondary scoring option. 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting. And, you know, we'll get more into what you said last week and what I picked up on and, you know, kind of some of the things you were saying going into ACC play that turned out to be true today. But Griffin, I mean, they just disappear when they need a secondary score.
It seemed like nobody, like, not, it wasn't even like down the stretch. I feel like nobody knew how to score the whole entire game. Credit to Syracuse. I want to give a huge round of applause. 20 of 24 from the free throw line? 83%? I mean, jeez. Like, it's almost like we're doing
the best
a
game of the year. Best game percentage-wise of the year, and they still lost.
It's almost like we're doing the double overtime, which is going on right as we're recording this. But, like, I bet all these callers, like, they lost by 4, they lost by 3. They must have lost because of free throws. No, they didn't. And that's the weird thing. Syracuse was efficient at the free throw line, but besides Donnie Freeman, nobody had more than 2 field goals? 2? Kyan, I got to give credit to Kyan. I thought he played well. Only played 15 minutes, which I guess is a little expected with Donnie coming back. Tyler Betsy seemed like he was composed out there in his time off the bench. I thought the bench got even. I got to give a little bit of credit to Ibrahim Sora. I know I had that massive rant last time on the pod. But I had an and one. He almost matches season total of points, which is pretty funny. I thought the bench guys did really, really well. I guess you can throw Donnie in there. Will Kyle, I think he had a tough game. He came up big towards the end. But I thought he got into foul trouble early, which kind of impacted his ability to defend. And I guess that also impacted his ability to score, which he struggled to do today. Nate George was forcing up some shots. JJ didn't seem like he was on his game. They didn't give the ball to Nate Kings to shoot, although he looked good when he had the ball in his hands. It was just like a really weird game from Syracuse.
Yeah, I think if you look at the wing guys here, I mean, Tyler Betsy, you mentioned his game. He had 8 points. They all came in the first half. He didn't attempt a shot in the second half. You know, I think that's something we've been accustomed to seeing. Nate Kings, I mean, he only got 2 shots in the first half and 1 shot in the second half. He played 28 minutes, and he only got 3 shots. I mean, this is supposed to be your best three-point shooter, and this is a game where I think they could have attempted more threes. Only 15 attempts from beyond the arc, 5 of 15 or 33%. And, you know, I know they spent a good amount of time at the foul line tonight with those 24 free-throw attempts, but it just felt like maybe the people taking the shots were not the guys you wanted. I mean, yeah, Starling goes cold, Nate George goes cold, but that's where you look for the other guys like Betsy and Kings to get involved. And, you know, you mentioned Nate George struggling from the field. Last week you were talking about how Syracuse struggles to get assists. Too much individual basketball, too much driving to the rim, too much playing with their head down, and it was in full force today. Griffin, 8 assists, that's lower than the last time out when they shot the 48 free throws against Northeastern. So, I mean, Griffin, I mean, you might be onto something here.
Yeah, and that was primarily Nate George, who had 3 in both halves. J.J. Starling had the other 2. So, like, I think after a game where Starling and George played so well, they felt like it was all on them to do it against Clemson when that just shouldn't be the case. When you should be getting the ball into Kyan's hands, into Betsy's hands, into King's hands, especially when they're playing well, and they certainly were today. And I think that's the disappointing part, is that when usually those guys, maybe the shots hadn't been falling to start the season, but they were falling today. Why not get it into those guys' hands? And the tricky part is, like, that's where Adrian Autry has to step up. Like, that's where the coach goes, okay, these guys are scoring well, those guys aren't scoring well, it's time for someone to make a decision and be like, okay, I'm drawing up this play for Tyler Betsy. I'm drawing up this play for Nate Kings. Like, those should be discussions, and it shouldn't just be the JJ show or the Nate George show when you have other players that are going to work. And credit to Donnie Freeman. He didn't give up when he scored 0 points in the first half. And he was SU's guy. He was honestly, I was really impressed by the way that Donnie Freeman handled himself in the second half. Yes, he was going for rebounds. He was playing with force. He was being really, really physical. And for a guy that's coming off a lower body injury, that can sometimes be a worry. Is he going to go up for the rebounds? Is he going to use his body down low in the paint? And he was. He was tussling with some of the Clemson guys. He was shoving his elbows around. And that's something that you want to hear from and see from your best player, your star player. And that is who Donnie Freeman is. You want him to be physical. You want him to take nothing for granted and go out and attack. And that's what he did. It just stinks that no one was really around to help him do that.
All right. Well, Griff, you know, they get this first game out of the way, which, you know, it's important because the next four games are actually against the four worst teams in the ACC. So, you know, you got Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, Florida State, and Boston College, all four very beatable teams. I mean, we could be looking at a team that wins possibly its next four or five ACC games. I mean, if you play like this defensively, I mean, this is good Clemson offense. They score the ball well, and they have long possessions, man. They drag the shot clock, and they really make it tough. The defense did a good job of not breaking down the stretch. You know, they were very solid defending the three ball against Clemson, just 4 of 16 for 25%. That was one of the worst showings of the year for Clemson. When you look at bigger picture, I don't think you can be too worried about where this team is. It feels like even with the loss today, you know, Donnie Freeman being back in the lineup, this team could start to build some momentum here.
I agree with you in saying that this loss isn't necessarily a bad loss. Obviously, Clemson's a good team. They're a team that's probably going to be on the bubble, if not in the tournament at the end of the year. The thing is, like, you can't afford much more of these good losses. It's starting to get to the time where Syracuse needs to put together good wins. And that's the thing that scares me a little. You have these next four games. Okay, yes, our Boston College and Florida State, not and Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh. Those are bottom of the ACC teams. You have to handle those teams. You have to beat those teams. And then, so let's say you start 4-1, which I think is a stretch because Syracuse doesn't really play well in Boston College, in Chestnut Hill, at the Conte Forum. Pittsburgh's always a tough environment. You know, there's some hatred there between Syracuse and Pitt. And then you fall to Clemson, and Florida State's not the best program in the world. But those are all ACC teams. Syracuse needs to beat all of them, and then they need good wins. This Clemson team would have been a very strong win, and it could well be a quad one win had they won it, given if Clemson ends up beating some teams. And this could end up being a quad one loss, so it might not look awful, but this was a winnable game, and a game that Syracuse played well defensively. Got to give a lot of credit to Brad Brownell, the coach of Clemson. It was a very strongly coached game. They were holding the shot clock, as you mentioned, Josh. Like, it was just a well-coached basketball team. And even though Clemson was a little, they didn't play their best. And Syracuse's defense stepped up in certain circumstances. The shot clock violations were pretty impressive at times for Syracuse, forcing those. And I think we, as people who watch Syracuse basketball, we are expecting a game like this to be a win. And you cannot have a team that wants to be in a tournament for the first time in 4 or 5 years without wins like this. Like, this shouldn't be like, oh, Syracuse didn't beat Clemson. It's okay. There's still wins left. This should be Syracuse wins Clemson. Good. That's a good win. It needs two or three other wins like that.
Yeah, I kind of want to almost put this game in like a pool of games that they've played so far this year. I think there's four you can put in this pool. You got Houston, obviously, at the start of the season. You got Tennessee. That was a win. And then you have Hofstra and you have Clemson. There's a case to be made that they could have won all four of those games. Mm-hmm. At the bare minimum, they should have won three. They've won one.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at it, like, from that standpoint, Syracuse is underperforming so far this year. And I agree 100% with what you said. There's no more time for good losses and bad wins. It just needs to be wins. Like, there can't be any more of just falling in expectation, because they're already behind on where they should be.
And it's difficult because, like you mentioned, that Houston game should have been a win. The Hofstra game should never even been close. And when you have a team like Clemson that has to make the trip up into 2 feet of snow in Syracuse, they land the day before. You walk outside and you're standing in snow and slush. Like, that takes a toll. And as much as you think, oh, Clemson's a very good team, the dome should be a good environment. The dome should be a place that is hard to play in and is hard to play in for opposing teams. And that should give you some sort of advantage. And it did. Syracuse had a lot of momentum. The fans were in it in the second half, and it just couldn't get the job done. And I'm not sure if a Judah Mintz-led team 2 years ago would have won this game. Certainly last year's team was not going to win this game, most likely. So, I mean, you think about it, and, like, looking back, if Syracuse is at the end of its season and one win, and you're looking, all right, is this a tournament team? And you might have seen, oh, they could have used that one extra win. This game might be that one extra win that, well, could have pushed you over the top, but you didn't beat Clemson. That's another ACC loss, and Syracuse might not make the tournament because of it. All right, you mentioned Georgia Tech. That is Syracuse's next opponent. That will be Tuesday, January 6th, on the road in Atlanta. WAER will have coverage starting at 6:30 with McClurg remodeling countdown to tip-off. Ryan Randoni will bring you that. And then 7 o'clock tip from McCamish Pavilion out in Atlanta. We'll have another episode sometime next week, probably the later half of the week, Friday, most likely, maybe a Thursday episode. So stay tuned to WAER for that coverage of that game. Stay tuned to Ostrom Avenue Podcast on Twitter. For that, Syracuse women's basketball played Duke, and that was on Sunday. Sloppy, sloppy game from Syracuse against a Duke team that, you know, wasn't necessarily the best coming into this one. They are a very well-coached team. Carl Lawson, former assistant coach under Brad Stevens with the Celtics, has been coaching Duke the past couple of seasons, and she's really turned this Duke program, maybe not quite as what the men's team is, obviously, but into a really good program. They were ranked in the top 10 coming into this season. Last season, they went to the Elite Eight, lost to South Carolina. But they came into the dome and beat them 71-51. Oof, I mean, talk about a mismatch of teams.
Yeah, you know, we've obviously already talked about this a little bit this year, but Sophie Burrows, once again, a non-factor on the offensive end. She had 3 blocks and 5 steals, so she wasn't completely a non-factor out there, but 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3 for a grand total of 2 points. And that is their top returner from last season. That is one of the players they need to rely on, because they're playing ACC games now, and she just could not put it together. And then, you know, you look down low, Uche Izoje, supposed to be the, you know, the top scorer on this team this year, and she fouls out. She fouls out in 18 minutes. She only puts up 8 points. You know, this was just probably just a wash game. They really didn't play enough to play good enough to win this game. You know, this is one I'll just have to chalk up to a bad night, I think. I'm not entirely worried for the rest of the season, but if Burroughs really can't figure it out, this is definitely a team that's going to be trending down for the near term.
Yeah, you mentioned the foul out by Zoje. That's a big one. Shout out Dominique Darius, Layla Feely. They combined for about 30 points. But an 0 for 7 night from Sophie Burroughs downtown. She, credit to her, she'd been shooting pretty well before that. Against SMU went 5 of 10, Colgate 3 of 6, Mercyhurst 2 of 4, and then 0 for 4 against Binghamton, 0 for 7 against Duke in the last 5 games. So ups and downs after.
Yeah, I don't mean to criticize her at all, but you know, we've seen, I mean, the regression is pretty obvious. 41% and 40% from three last year, and now 33% from the field, 21% from three. So there's definitely room for her to grow back into that role she was last year. Go ahead.
Definitely. And it was definitely a struggling start to her season. Through about 7 or 8 games, she had only made 4 threes the whole stretch. And so that will certainly be back. The women's team back in action tomorrow, New Year's Day, in the Dome against Florida State. That game gets going at 6. Hopefully they can rebound. Felicia will get Jack, get her program off to the right track in 2026. You know, maybe a strong ACC slate from them can get them back in the tournament, have some good wins on their resume. SMU, Auburn already, Utah, some power conference opponents already, and then ACC play. Always good for women's basketball, and they will certainly have their hands full for that stretch. And the last thing we wanted to touch on here before we wrap things up here on the podcast is the transfer portal. It's been heating up. It obviously opens in a couple days. Josh, you know, we've talked about players entering. We haven't really touched on any of the big players that have entered the portal. I saw the one name that I saw is interesting. Syracuse not going to get him. He'll go to probably one of the best teams in the country. Is Rasheem Biles. You know, if Syracuse fans remember this guy, he's a Pittsburgh linebacker that picked off Kyle McCord for a touchdown. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't do it just once. He did it twice. And I mean, this guy is just absurd, and you know, it'd probably be in the dreams of many, many, many Syracuse fans to get a guy of this level of talent. I mean, talk about this stat line. He had 1 pick 6 against Syracuse, but he had 12 tackles and a sack and a pick six. And that was obviously a horrid game for Kyle McCord. But I saw he entered the transfer portal today. Syracuse had a couple more guys enter the transfer portal. Daryl Gill,
yeah.
Did that surprise you at all?
I mean, I feel like I've grown past the point of being surprised when anyone enters the transfer portal. It's more of like a measure of like concern, and mm-hmm. I think it's been pretty slowly moving up on the concerning scale. But you still have Demetrius Samuel, Alvin Russell still signed and committed to Syracuse, so. As far as the, you know, the actual foundation of the program, I'm not concerned yet. I think Fran's going to do a hell of a job. I think he's going to go out and get some studs like he did in the last 2 seasons. So I'm not worried yet. I think, you know, as it's going to happen every year from now until this whole NIL thing hopefully washes over and the NCAA collapses, there's going to be guys coming in and there's going to be guys going out. And right now we have the guys going out. Hopefully the guys coming in can make up.
Oh God, we're already predicting the doom and demise of the NCAA. Hopefully Charlie Baker's not listening to this, and yeah, you know, good on him for making a statement saying that guys that already signed contracts to the NBA can't play. I don't know why that was a thing at all. That was kind of ridiculous. Yeah, I've seen on Twitter Demetrius Samuel and Darius Johnson kind of tweeting at potential guys that have entered the portal from SEC schools and other ACC programs trying to potentially help Fran Brennan out with the recruiting. Not that he needs much help. The one thing I am surprised a little bit is, like, I feel like last year and the year before, we've gotten a little more buzz on, like, where guys are going, mm-hmm. Like, before the transfer portal opened.
Yeah.
I feel like this year there's just been not a lot of, like, buzz. Like, no. I feel like we know where, like, a DJ Lagway or a Dylan Raiola or a some of these top players in the portal are going, but I haven't heard anything.
No. I mean, I've heard, like, this is going to stick out. Nick Marsh, one of the Michigan State wide receivers, supposedly being, you know, recruited by Notre Dame and LSU as his top two, but, you know, there's really not a whole lot of thought behind it. Maybe they're doing a better job of keeping it under wraps, or, you know, these beat reporters are, you know, taking the Christmas break to the Bahamas. They're not really reporting on the teams anymore, but, you know, I kind of like it. I think it gives the players a little bit more freedom to explore their options. I did see one of the Oklahoma State offensive tackles entered the transfer portal. Four visits scheduled, including one to his very own team in Stillwater, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. So he's going to be visiting the school he currently plays for.
I wonder if Oklahoma State is going to have to fly him out and pay for a flight to take a visit at his own school. Or I saw that, and that was very funny. That tweet popped up on my timeline. I was like, oh, college football is here, and it's here to stay. All right, so that's all about it we have on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. A little brief reactionary episode. Talk some women's basketball. Talk some football as well. Clemson took down Syracuse 64-61, a close one for the return of Donnie Freeman. Once again, the men's team get back in action Tuesday, January 6th against Georgia Tech. Tip off 7 o'clock. McClurg remodeling comes down to tip off at 6:30 with Ryan Randoni. And I guess that will be it. We'll see you next week on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Have a good New Year's.